Hey there, it's Coach Steph. Let's start with our meditation and get right into our lesson for the day.
Transformation, it started in my mind. Transformation, it moved to my soul.
All right, grab your tea and your coffee and let's get started.
All right, let's jump into this week's law. I am super excited about this one because this one is pretty controversial. So I'm very excited to bring you the biblical perspective as well as new thought perspective. So let's jump into the law of manifestation. There are two primary principles of this law. One is spirit, your higher self, creates from nothing and in harmony with the unity of life. Through your beliefs within your subconscious mind and soul, you set into motion this universal law. The second principle relates to the degree to which your beliefs are limited and not in accordance with the harmony of life. This is the degree to which you will experience yourself unable to manifest. Furthermore, serving the highest good exponentially increases your ability to manifest. So in my own words, if I were to break this down and I could sum those two principles up into two parts, it would be co-creating with the universe or with God, and then taking 100% responsibility for your reality. And but you're like, well, Coach, what does manifestation have to do with responsibility? I'm glad you asked. We're going to figure that out. Let's keep going. The central belief from a new thought perspective on this universal law is this. You are the divine individual and you are the entire universe. That simply means that you are your own divine self and God at the same time. Yes, I know that is super radical, and I also know that it's going to take some time to sink in. So luckily, we've got a few weeks to spend time helping this sink in. So feel free to unclutch your pearls and relax. It's going to be okay, and let's keep going. The universe is an extension of you, just as you are an extension of the universe. Another way to say that is God is an extension of you, just as you are an extension of God. It is this interconnected and infinite loop as you respond to the thoughts and feelings of others and react to your surroundings. This is how the universe responds to you. One of the foundational universal axioms is that you are a spiritual being in a spiritual universe with a law of cause and effect. You are endowed with access to everlasting universal energy, and therefore the same energy that binds you can also set you free. It's not a different energy, it's the same energy. To experience freedom, you must learn how to direct the energy towards harmony rather than discord. So you're probably saying, I don't understand what she's saying. I still don't know what manifestation is. So here's another way to think about it. Manifestation is the individual use of energy filtered through the limited beliefs induced within the soul and directed by selection and initiation to create your circumstances, your relationships, objects, and form. Manifestation is the direction of energy. Listen to this. Manifestation is the direction of energy through the creative process, which we talked about last week, into form, plain and simple. Your beliefs and feelings are what inform the universe what to reflect to you. I'm going to say that again. Your beliefs and your feelings are what inform the universe to reflect back to you. The secret of all power is your individual ability to direct the universal law of cause and effect through the embodiment of vibration, aligning your subconscious with universal consciousness. You are manifesting 24/7 without any effort whatsoever, Whether you believe that or not, we are always manifesting because we're always thinking and we're always feeling. The goal is to manifest the circumstances, the relationships, the objects, and the form for the highest good of everyone. And this starts in the consciousness. This is where you take responsibility for what you are creating. Let's check this universal law out in the Bible. So this one is going to be a little interesting because normally we start with a scripture from the Old Testament to establish the universal law we're speaking about in context of biblical history. Manifestation in the Old Testament is called theophanies. Let me spell that for you. T-H-E-O-P-H-A-N-Y. A theophany is a visible manifestation of God. Let me explain. Everything before the incarnation or the birth of Christ was separate. God was viewed as separate from man. So it is believed that God, spirit, source, whichever you identify with, would manifest through different ways to commune and instruct men. So the Old Testament does not come from a consciousness construct. It comes from spiritual law, not universal law, which are two very, very, very different things. And so in the Old Testament, you have it's very separate. So manifestation is physical, but in the New Testament, manifestation is mental. So that's the biggest takeaway from the difference between the Old Testament and the New. So let me paint a picture for you. Here are some of the most noted occurrences of these theophanies in the Old Testament. The first one is the burning bush. Everybody knows about the burning bush. Moses in the burning bush. This is found in Exodus 3 and 1. So this is right after Moses leaves, because remember, he was raised as a Pharaoh's son. I'm not going to go into the whole history, but he was raised in Egypt, and then he murders someone, and he runs to the desert. Well, in the desert, it's where he finds his new life. It's where he finds his calling. It's where he finds shepherding. It's where he really comes to himself. And in my interpretation, it's where he finds consciousness, because it's where he finds God. Okay, so the bush is burning and a voice calls Moses from the bush. If you read the Bible, it's actually the angel that calls Moses over. Once he gets to the bush, then God reveals himself and says, take off your shoes because you're standing in holy ground. And he identifies himself as the I am. So that's the most noted occurrence. Another one is Mount Sinai, same with Moses. This is Exodus 19. So we're further into the Exodus of the children of Israel. This is after they've left Egypt. This is after they've crossed the Red Sea. They're now in the wilderness. And God leads them to Mount Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, Moses is called up to the top of the mountain by God and given the Ten Commandments. That is the significance of Mount Sinai. But there's another piece of Mount Sinai that people don't readily talk about. And God actually talked to the people of Israel. So this was a dual theophany. He talked to Moses in secret, put the commandments on the stones, and then he also talked to the people. Another occurrence is Abraham and Isaac. So this is in Genesis 22. So this is where Abraham is asked to sacrifice Isaac, which is the son from God. Okay. So Abraham, and he's like, oh my goodness, what do you want me to do? God asked him to take his son up and actually sacrifice him on the altar, like a human on the altar. But it was a test of faith. If you look at it from the biblical perspective. So Isaac is getting ready to, you know, Abraham is getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, and there's a ram in the bush. So God calls Abraham to turn around. He sees the ram in the bush and the child is saved, for lack of better words. Another occurrence is Daniel in the lion's den. Again, this was one of my favorite Sunday school lessons, Daniel in the lion's den. This is found in Daniel 6. So this is where Daniel would not follow the decree of the king. And so because David would not, you know, pray to the king that was, you know, the king of the day, he got thrown into the lion's den. Well, when the king felt so bad, the day after he threw Daniel into the lion's den, he goes to check to see if Daniel was devoured, and he was not. And he said, I know I see someone down over David. So it was actually the physical presence of God in the lion's den with Daniel. And the last one, another one of my favorites, is the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the pit of fire. Again, they would not bow to the king. They were, you know, they were rigid in their beliefs. They believed a certain thing, a certain level of consciousness. They believed God in a certain way, and they were unwilling to let go of that. And so they were thrown in the fire pit, like in fire. And so the next morning when they came, they opened up the pit, and there were four instead of three. So another physical manifestation of God in the Bible. So once Christ came, he then became the embodiment of God. His teachings on consciousness, coupled with his miracles and his sacrifice of life, solidified and reconciled us back to the oneness that was established at creation. We were no longer separated in consciousness and had the freedom to experience revelations in universal truth. And that's what began to emerge through the embodiment of God in the Christ. After Christ ascended, it opened the gates for expanding consciousness to take hold. So now let's move to the New Testament. So we've experienced the theophany. We've talked about what that is. We've defined that. Now let's move into manifestation from a consciousness perspective, because that's what you'll find when you're on YouTube or when you're speaking to people in today about manifestation. So let's start at the first book in the New Testament, Matthew 21, 21 through 22. Jesus replied to them, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt or allow yourself to be drawn in two directions, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. So let me put this in context. This is after Jesus delivers the parable of the fig tree and how after the fig tree didn't yield any fruit, it dried up like on its own. And that's primarily because the intention of the tree was to bear fruit. And when the intention was not realized, then the fig tree, it drew itself up. So this verse speaks directly to what the core of manifestation is. It is belief. One word. I want to apologize, guys. I'm recording this and I cannot control my neighbors. So if you are hearing some background noise, let me apologize in advance. I have tried to record this four times. So we're just going to go on with the intent to teach and with the intent to instruct. So my apologies, okay? So the core of manifestation is belief. Here, Jesus himself is teaching the process of manifestation. Here's the formula that Jesus shares in this scripture. First thing is to have faith. He says, ask. The second thing is to do not doubt. And then the third thing is do not allow yourself to be drawn in two directions. That's how you receive. You need a clear channel to be able to receive. So I'll say that again. It's have faith, ask, do not doubt, believe. Do not allow yourself to be drawn in two directions, and that's how you receive. Your belief sets manifestation into motion. Here's the last scripture for this lesson. This is Hebrew 11 and 1. Now, even though this is in the New Testament, I want you to listen to the scripture because it's actually pointing to the Old Testament, okay? So now faith is the assurance. Assurance means the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for. Hoped for is divinely guaranteed and the evidence of things not seen, which is the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gain approval. So he explains what faith is, and then he says it's this kind of faith that even though the prophets of the Old Testament did not have the correct consciousness, they had the correct level of faith. So Here we have another reference to the definition of faith, which is central to manifestation, specifically to the co-creation with God. The words that stand out from this teaching in scripture include assurance, divinely guaranteed, and the conviction of reality. You've got to see the things that you desire, and you've got to see them with such a conviction that they already exist. So when people say, speak as if it were, believe as if it were, that's what they mean. They mean you have to see it so concretely in your belief system, in your faith, in your expectation that this thing is actually happening, because that is what energizes universal law to be able to then reflect back to you what it is you believe. Okay? This speaks directly to the core ingredient that sets this universal law into motion, unwavering faith. The process of increasing faith starts and ends with consciousness, moving from a consciousness of limitations, negative self-evaluation, lack, sickness, and any other negative beliefs to a consciousness of truth, oneness, love, divinity, individuality, perfect health, and all of the rest of the truths found in the universal laws. This is my hope for each of you that are listening, that you discover these truths and allow them to permeate and break through all of the limited beliefs and lies that have been front and center in your life. You are responsible for your life, period. End of story. The question now is, will you continue to give others the responsibility for your life, or will you step up and take it? I hope this has been enlightening and informational for you. If so, please consider subscribing and sharing this podcast with 5 people that you think can benefit from these teachings. Until next week, walk in truth and healing. May you start to manifest the life you were designed to experience today and every day going forward. Together we say, and so it is.